our world is now very personalized. And if
Yeah.
as a corporation you're trying to come to that with a very box, I treat employees in this grouping, all my engineers at this level I treat like this, and all my engineers at a lower level I treat like this, and all my salespeople I treat like this, that's not sustainable in today's world for a manager.
You are listening to the Culture Coach Podcast. This is the place where CEOs and people-first leaders come to boost productivity, extinguish burnout, and cultivate a vibrant culture that reflects a fully integrated mission, vision, and core values. Get ready to take your culture to the next level. I am your host, Wendy Brand. Welcome back to the Culture Coach Podcast, the show where we help leaders stop reacting to culture and start shaping it with intention, clarity, and confidence. I'm your host, Wendy Brand, founder of the Culture Coach and creator of the Core Culture Framework. Before we dive in, I want to remind you that the Culture Roadmap webinar series kicks off next week, starting November 11th and running three consecutive Tuesdays in a row. Each session is designed to help you protect your energy, bring clarity to the chaos around you, and reset your culture for 2026. You'll walk away with a roadmap for your 2026 culture. You can save your spot now at culturecoachwendy.com/webinar series. So today I'm joined with Dave McDonald, founder of the Better Together Group and host of the WTF Talks podcast. Dave's story is a powerful one, from being fired from nearly every job he's ever had to building a business that feeds families one shift at a time. We talk about entrepreneurship, building people-first systems, and the challenges and rewards of leading with clarity and integrity. Let's jump in. All right. Welcome back to the Culture Coach Podcast. I'm so excited to have with me Dave McDonald. Dave, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to be on with you.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited. We previously had a conversation on your podcast, WTF, and now happy to dig in a little bit more on culture and excited to hear about your background and how you started your business. Excited to dive in. Why don't we start by telling me a little bit about kind of how you got started in the business?
Wow. So I've been fired from every good job I've ever had, Wendy. And I haven't had a lot of good jobs. I've been fired from a lot of bad jobs too. All of my life, it's only been a couple of times from a teenager through to 30-ish where I ever chose to leave a company myself. It was normally someone's foot in my back. And that was a clear story to me that I was to be an entrepreneur. I grew up in a family of entrepreneurs. My grandfathers were farmers. My mom was a serial entrepreneur. She owned a ceramic studio when I was probably 8 to 15. And then she gave that up to start a consignment clothing store. So just kind of growing up in that environment really inspired me. But when I was 15 years old, I had the opportunity to run our family maple syrup farm. Being from Canada, it's probably too stereotypical to tell you guys I ran a maple syrup farm, but we produced sap out of about 500 trees, and wow, we would gather sap for like 8 weeks or 12 weeks of a year, and my dad would run the evaporator, and I hired all the people, and I worked on the tractor with the guys.
And so how did you transition from working in your family's business to starting your own business?
Sure. So Rhonda and I were married very young. I got married at 20 years of age. We had twin boys at 24. And I was trying to make it as an employee in that season. But a month after the boys were born, twins, I got fired and I was out of work for 6 months.
Wow.
And I eventually got another job with a good company and it worked out great. They moved us from Chicagoland to Canada. And we started our lives there for health insurance, basically. That was like the big goal of getting to Canada, health insurance and my family. But what happened was we grew to mistrust employers. So we were no more secure as employed people than we were as independent, self-employed or entrepreneurs. And so that was just like that insecurity of being an employee led to, oh, I'm willing to take the risk on me because I believe in me. And my wife believed in me in ways that she shouldn't have. And it's all worked out okay for us in the end.
And why recruiting?
Oh gosh. Well, part of it was because of the lack of employment stability for us. Is one of the things that I did was I during that period of unemployment, that 6 months, I went and applied for a job at an employment agency as a salesperson. And I was doing a little bit of temping myself, like general labor, like I was a painter for a couple of Fridays and like different, I was making money wherever I could.
Yeah.
And I used agencies to do that. But I went for this interview with them and was understanding the idea of selling to employers that had a need for workforce and supporting unemployed people who needed a job and the intrinsic value of helping these people support these people was really meaningful to me. And so that's when we started Better Together Group. And our tagline from the beginning has been feeding families one shift at a time.
Ah, I love that.
Yeah. So for us, it's like, I love our clients. I've got great relationships with clients, but how much I love the employees compared to the clients would make them feel like I don't care about them at all because I'm very employee focused.
Yeah. I love that. So let's talk a little bit about culture. I'm first curious about your, so do you have three different agencies?
I do. So Better Together Group is made up of three different employment agencies. Revolution Staffing, which is really a driver leasing business. We help truck drivers, commercial drivers, find jobs.
Okay.
Only experienced guys. I can't help new drivers. Only experienced vetted guys. But that was the business that I really started in because my father-in-law was a truck driver. My brother-in-law was a truck driver. And I saw how much disrespect they received on their side. And my wife grew up with food insecurity related to that. Because if you disrespect the wrong truck driver, the keys are coming back through the window at you very quickly. And so like these people, you don't choose to live your life in a truck alone, 60, 70 hours a week. Sometimes if they're over the road, more than that, because you like people. Does that make sense to you?
Right.
I'm not saying they hate people. They don't.
Right.
And some, what you'll find is truck drivers will talk your ears off and you're like, what's this guy talking about? They don't like people. Last time I saw a truck driver, I couldn't get him to shut up. Well, yeah, he's been alone in a cage for 60 hours this week. You were the outlet. Congratulations. But what I find about truck drivers is although they don't love like lots of oversight and lots of communications, like do this, they're really independent sorts. They want the freedom. And I think that's a great fit for those personality types. And so I really love the truck driver thing. That's a real passion for me. But as we grew in business, our clients were asking for more and more help in the warehouse and help in the office. And so the business grew into that. One of the companies that really helped me get started in the business was Help Unlimited. The owner's name was Bob Harper and Lynn Howell was his general manager. They're great people. Eventually I bought that business from them. And so I added Help Unlimited and Essential Staffing was kind of my first foray into hiring perm placement or direct hire people straight to your payroll so that you could, so we can help you. If really what I like to say is we solve people problems, whatever your people problems are, I have a solution to help with that.
Yeah. And so with those three agencies, I imagine, how big is your team?
We run about 15 people internally, and we run a couple hundred people externally. Okay. Like our placements, we would have a couple hundred people out to work most every day.
Yeah. And is there anything you do from a culture perspective internally? And then is there anything you do with those hundred or so that, you know, the pool of candidates? I know they don't work for you. I mean, they do work for you.
Yeah.
But tell me about that.
Sure. So with those group, let's talk about the temp workers or the people on assignment.
Okay.
We really value those people. And so there's a real difficult interaction, particularly with people that are on a long-term employment lease to a company where they're there. You know, I have people that have been working with me for 5, 10, 15 years at a client site. And we have great relationships. But all relationships with all employees starts with respecting the person and understanding each individual person. And the problem or the challenge that business owners face is that to streamline businesses, we want things to be very systematic and functional. We want to put everything in a box with nice hard corners on it. And people aren't like that. And so how do you balance that interaction with them? Particularly and increasingly, I would say, in a world of social media where everything the person is receiving and taking in, even their Netflix choices or what they're watching on TV is curated specifically to that individual and their browsing history and what they're talking about. And like our world is now very personalized. And if as a corporation, you're trying to come to that with a very box, I treat employees in this grouping, all my engineers at this level, I treat like this, and all my engineers at a lower level, I treat like this, and all my salespeople, I treat like this. That's not sustainable in today's world for a manager. It may still be possible for businesses, but not for the individual management level. And so we try to meet with our employees that are on site at our clients. We try to communicate with them regularly through our organizational structure would be that we would talk to everybody on assignment every month. We talk to everyone who's ever been on assignment for us every quarter. And we talk to every candidate that's in the process every week. And so if you don't have a job yet, we want to be talking to you weekly, if not daily. If you have a job and you're on site and everything's going well for you, we'll initiate communication monthly and they can call us anytime. If you have worked for us in the last 12, 18 months, we want to maintain those relationships and see if we can get you back to work or just celebrate your successes at being at one of those customers on their payroll now. And so we try to keep in touch with those people every quarter for 18 months. And then we let them determine how we engage.
Yeah, that's great. I think communication is one of the best things you can do for employees. You know, keeping that line open to them, especially when they're on site at another, you know, with your client. I think that's awesome. Yeah.
And using multiple channels to do so. So, like, you know, obviously we have all the normal social medias and blah, blah, blah. But a one-to-one staffing coordinator to candidate, those types of threads.
That's great. And then what about internally with your 15?
So we're currently all remote. So we have a cadence. On Mondays we meet. And we share a little bit of fun about our weekends. Being a small group, we can still, you know, let people do that. And that's good. And then we spend some time talking about what was your win from last week? And what are you going to deliver on this week that isn't in the normal course of business? So it's not just like, well, my payroll guy's going to run payroll. Yeah, we knew that. Okay. Yeah. But like, what additional project are you going to take on this week and accomplish that's going to move the mission of the organization forward? Then Wednesdays, we do a learning session. And normally in our learning session, we're talking either about some of the principles that we use in our business, whether it's work hard, tell the truth, finish the job, or whether it's the three I's, intentionality, intensity, and integrity. Those are kind of, our culture is based on the three I's, and the WTF is how you do it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's, sometimes we have these lofty culture goals or words that describe our organization. And I was like, yeah, but what is integrity? And so we try to have a second layer that's how we execute on the three I's.
I love that. And besides the meetings, how else do you bring that to life? I mean, do you any reward and recognize for certain behaviors or setting boundaries when someone doesn't behave in a certain way?
Sure. So I'm awful at managing people. I know I understand a lot about culture because I've done a lot of bad things or like, and I've seen some wins, but conceptually I understand it and practicing it is very difficult. What I would say is we've often done kind of an Eye of the Month award. Mm-hmm. And so we would give either the eye for intensity or intentionality or integrity to people. It's much easier when we were in an office environment and we could actually hand them. We have a little metal eye with the words written on them that we hand them, and it sits on their desk and they get to be proud of that for a month. And then along with that came a donation to a food bank of their choice for $100 was kind of, it wasn't really to the person, but it fed back into our mission to feed families one chip at a time. And so that was one of the things that we've done. And we're probably out of that cycle right now. That's the problem with me being the key people manager, is that I build systems and then I don't follow them.
Yeah.
But my managers are great at running the systems, and I just need to give them the room to do that.
Yeah. I think I love your honesty, because I think it's difficult for everyone. I think, and I've seen with some of my clients, the smaller businesses that have 10 to 15 employees, where you give out the awards and then it's like, you cycle through everyone a couple times, and then it's like,
how do we keep doing this? Yeah.
What's
next? And that's definitely, and so, I've thought about maybe, sponsoring WTF tattoos for everyone. but that didn't really catch. So we have ideas that we toss around, and they're not all takers.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what would you say is the most difficult thing for you about being a people leader?
Consistency and clarity.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Those are the two hard things. As an entrepreneur, I have lots of dreams. I see the future and I want to charge after it. And sometimes that has me chasing something for a day or for a week or for a month that never comes to fruition. And that impairs clarity in my organization about what I want them to be doing. And so really trying to create more and more clarity about what are my expectations? What is the path to success? Those systems on how do you keep doing those calls in those rotations? How do you, and so I'm good at the concepts. And then I have a team of people that take care of putting into place the systems that support that, the concept.
Yeah. I'm curious if you have any advice or guidance for leaders using your really decades of experience in finding the right people for the right companies, any guidance you would give leaders on how to do that in their own organizations?
Yeah, for sure. I think that you should buy into a model. and stay with the model. So if you're a Patrick Lencioni fan, hungry, humble, smart. If you're an EOS fan, wait for it. Oh gosh, what are their three things? Has it, wants it, has capacity. I think those has capacity, understands it, and wants it. So sometimes you have somebody who doesn't understand the concept that you're doing. You can't give it to them to execute. They don't conceive of, if they don't understand it, they can't execute. But yeah, you want people that have buy-in, wants it, but you also have to, one of my biggest problems is I give people projects when they don't have any more capacity. Like I'm already running them at 1,000 RPMs and I'm just asking, oh, hey, you know, it, the things work hard. So like, just take this on as more. And that's not a good idea.
Yeah.
So there's a balance to all of those things. But one of the challenges that I have in life is that I often want more for people than they want for themselves. And I, like I've said publicly, that my goal is to help people achieve more than they believe or think that they can. The challenge with that is you can't, you shouldn't try to force your expectations on people if they don't have buy-in. I got a resignation letter from a lady this morning that I really respect. And it was just too much. Just, Dave, you're too much. That's not exactly how she said it, but yeah, you know, that's what you come to understand. And so you can't want it for them more than they want it for themselves. And so if they've got lots of gets it, wants it, has capacity, then you're in good shape. If they're hungry, they want to get stuff. If they're humble, they're willing to get under authority, and they don't think that they're the, can I curse on your show? Probably
yes.
Not. Yeah. They don't think that they're the crap. Then you can, if they're hungry, humble, and smart, they're people smart. They get under other people and how to interact with them. Those are super key.
Yeah. Okay. That's great. I love it. Well, is there anything I didn't ask you that you want to share with the audience before we wrap up?
No, I think culture is super important, and understanding where people are coming from is really important. And, you know, growing up in Canada, Canada's a multicultural mosaic. We don't try and build everybody into the melting pot. And I think that that's a cultural weakness in Canada, but I think in corporate it's, and in business, it's actually a good thing to understand where people come from and to help them maximize their ability to impact your organization. And so if you're managing 50 people, you can probably know them all by name and understand what makes them tick. If you have more than that, you have people underneath you that are managing those people, and you need to build into those people to help run the culture forward.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes, that's great. I heard somebody say recently, and I've said it on the podcast a couple times now, that people are like icebergs also. Like, we see the tip of them. Like, that's what we see at work, but there's so much underneath that we have no idea what's going on at home for them or what. Even I had an episode recently on neurodiversity. Like, there's things mentally that we may not know about them that aren't overt. You know, there's so much underneath the surface with human beings that we don't see that they have to bring with them because it's who they are. And so to stereotype, like you were saying early, like all engineers are this way, or this level of engineers are this way, and salespeople this way, we're all human beings and we all bring so much to the table. And so I think you're right. Leaders that can find and understand what's unique and special about each individual that they lead, and, you know, allowing them, maybe like you said, sometimes if they don't want it, you can't push it. But if you help identify those things in them and give them opportunities to exceed and using those strengths, I think it makes for a really great workplace, and it makes the employee feel good.
Yeah, you have to engage with people where they're at. If you look back through the greatest leaders in the world, they knew their people and they cared about them as people. And so as an agency owner where we employ hundreds of people, we try really hard to have someone in the organization who knows the person. And in an AI-driven environment, we need to continue to drive people first, cultures.
Yes. Love it. Well, Dave, you've been the greatest guest. Thank you so much. I love what your mission is. And, you know, it's obvious the way that you lead that you're, you know, I know it's a ripple down effect. So thank you for what you're doing. It's been a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much. I really love being a part of this. If people are interested in connecting with me, dave@wtftalks.org is a great way to get a hold of me. wtftalks.org.
That'll be in the show notes for them so they can connect with you. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much. Have a great day. Thanks for having me on. What a great time.
Of course. Yes. Thanks. What an incredible conversation with Dave McDonald. I love how he reminds us that leadership is about consistency, clarity, and truly knowing your people, not just managing them. If this episode inspired you to take a closer look at how your culture operates, don't forget the Culture Roadmap webinar series starts next week on November 11th. Over three live sessions, I'll walk you through how to stop the energy drain, bring clarity to your team, and reset your culture for a stronger 2026. Join me at culturecoachwendy.com/webinar series. It's completely free, and it's the perfect next step to bring these ideas to life inside your organization. Thanks so much for tuning into the Culture Coach Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe, share it with a fellow leader, and leave a quick review. It helps more leaders find the show. Until next time, have a great week.